se ha transformado en una lección de derechos humanos para la Unión Americana. Beatriz Salas amplía la información.
Decidir sobre quiénes serán los portadores de la antorcha en la ceremonia inaugural de los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno en Pekín es la responsabilidad de China, y Estados Unidos no está en posición de hacer comentarios despectivos. Así respondió Pekín a la reciente interferencia de Washington, quien aseveró que la elección de China del atleta de la etnia Uyghur, Denijir Jilamujian, para llevar la antorcha olímpica es un esfuerzo de Pekín para distraer la atención del llamado genocidio en la región de Xinjiang.
Los llamados comentarios de genocidio de Estados Unidos son la gran mentira del siglo y exponen su intento de politizar los Juegos Olímpicos de Invierno y su siniestra intención de utilizar el tema relacionado con Xinjiang para difamar a China.
China asimismo acusó a Estados Unidos de mentir de manera descarada sobre las minorías étnicas, mientras olvida sistemáticamente discriminaciones en su propio suelo.
Estados Unidos llevó a cabo un genocidio contra los nativos americanos en el pasado y ha discriminado sistemáticamente a las minorías raciales a largo plazo. La población de nativos americanos se ha desplomado de 5 millones a finales del siglo XV a unos 250 mil a principios del siglo XX, reduciéndose a una vigésima parte. ¿Qué es el genocidio? Las políticas que Estados Unidos ha impuesto a los nativos americanos son un verdadero genocidio.
Zhao, además de criticar la discriminación racial contra los africanos y asiáticos en Estados Unidos, dijo que elegir a un atleta de la etnia Uyghur muestra que la política de China de promover los deportes de invierno y mejorar la salud de las personas está beneficiando a individuos de todos los grupos étnicos y prueba que no existe discriminación.
Lo que Estados Unidos debería estar haciendo es revisar cuidadosamente sus propios crímenes históricos contra los nativos americanos y tomar medidas concretas para reducir la discriminación racial contra estas personas y otras minorías raciales, como los africanos y asiáticos.
China, en reiteradas ocasiones, ha instado a Estados Unidos a dejar de usar los asuntos vinculados con Xinjiang para difundir mentiras, interferir en los asuntos internos de China o intentar detener el desarrollo del país. Advierte que, de lo contrario, Pekín dará una respuesta más contundente a la luz del desarrollo de la situación. Beatriz Salas con información de Niloufar Shakuri, Hispan TV Noticias.
Migrantes de todos los rincones del mundo duermen bajo su mismo cielo estrellado. Me los encuentro en las calles, en los cines, en los supermercados, y el olor de sus comidas me embriaga de placer. Todos ellos son mis vecinos.
Y yo aquí vivo, bajo sus leyes domésticas, pago impuestos y mis manos producen la riqueza nacional.
Soy parte de esa comunidad que vive, trabaja y sueña con una mañana mejor para nuestras familias.
Casi todos migrantes como yo, casi todos soñadores como yo.
Trabajemos pues en la construcción de otra nación que nos haga dignos.
Seamos los arquitectos de nuestro sueño colectivo.
Esta radio no tiene comerciales porque tú nos apoyas. Si ya has hecho una aportación económica, te damos las gracias. Si no, hazlo ahora en kpfk.org o llama al 818-985-5735.
Así llegamos al final de esta edición del Informativo Pacífica. Nuestro más profundo agradecimiento a todos los medios y personas que hicieron posible este programa. A nombre de Norma Martínez, se despide tu amigo de siempre, Fernando Velázquez. Gracias por acompañarnos.
Este y otros programas del Informativo Pacífica pueden ser escuchados o descargados en iPod o en forma tradicional en www.kpfk.org en los archivos de audio.
They told me, you know, we'll give you a day, we'll give you a week, however long it takes for you to accept our help to be healed and to become a child of God and denounce being gay.
Honoring the memory of Dr. Anonymous, coming up on the Rainbow Minute.
I got three quarters of the way through several times and was like, well, I have no idea how this would end, so I have to start over. But one thing I know is I can't end a story without hope.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Nicaragua's NGO Purge targets its oldest queer group. Gay Taiwanese movie sings out a universal love song and upending the artistic process with Amanda Kayback. All that and more this week because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Joe Bainline.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 28, 2021. The government of Nicaragua is aiming to shut down the country's oldest LGBTQ advocacy group. The Interior Ministry has asked the National Assembly to annul the legal nonprofit status of Fundacion Xaquiquetzal and 14 other non-governmental organizations. President.
No commercial and no show, but still capitalist manufactured consent. Ours a world you'll never hear about, but it's the one that surrounds you on the street. We yank the plug, make our own media. Someone is sneaking with transmitters in tow, setting up antennas on top of the hills. An attic stands along the roof line, pump up the volume with pirate radio. Of the voiceless, the roots of the grass are spreading fast, breaking the media blockade. Liberation radio for each locality, building community and resistance. Real people telling real news, using creativity and political freedom. The exchange of information, news and ideas, with cultural and artistic expression. This is the new free speech movement. Radio is my bomb. May it sound broadcast. Hearing news and music, fans from the masses, running our stations collectively. It's a kick in the face to a hierarchy. The only commercial you may hear. What an announcing revolution is here. This is a movement of electronic civil disobedience coming at you to free the airways, threatening the FCC and the corporate establishment. Powers that be, it's just radio shockwaves riding an explosion. Radio is my bomb. May a thousand broadcasts.
This is how it started. It's not hard to understand. From coast to coast, they're lying at a CEO's command. From nationalist public radio, CNN and NBC, Big Brother spewing propaganda from the disinformation ministry. They say the economy is booming. We hear the homeless beggars cry. They say we help poor countries. We see bombs falling from the skies. Reality doesn't exist, they're trying to say. But some of us decided there is another way. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Someone got a transmitter, started up a station. Then the idea spread right across the nation. Like the land and water, the air must be free. So let us shout together, fuck the FCC. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. And we'll do it all together in a grassroots style, tearing down the fences throughout this whole square mile. It's the new town meeting, it's the way the news should be. The rulers call it chaos, we say it's democracy. So when you turn on the radio and you've had it with this shit, from 88 to 107 makes you wanna have a fit. When you listen to the music and it's all the same pop song, start up a pirate station, 'cause that's where you belong. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. Seize the airwaves, seize the time. 'Cause lying to the people is the real crime. When it's all owned by corporations and theirs is the only word, we will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard. We will seize the airwaves, speak freely and be heard.
toe. If he hollers, let him go. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. My mama told me to pick the best one, and you are it.
Nighttime comes and everybody wonders, will tomorrow bring the light of day? Will our house be rubble blown asunder? In the cellar we will hide ourselves and pray. Will the smoke clear in the morning? Will the city all go down in flame? Will the factory be standing? Will life here ever be the same? There's terror in the skies of this city. Fear is in the hearts of children, women, and men. And they can never see the faces of the killers. As the storm comes again.
A glimpse of what it's like when an Israeli missile hits just meters from your home. Every day and every night since this war began, this is what the men, women, and children here are seeing and feeling over and over again. And Israel has warned this is just the beginning. We went to see Ra'id and Wafa al-Ramli, who live with their three children just next to the ministry complex of the deposed government. More than a dozen Israeli missiles hit the complex within a matter of minutes at 1 a.m. Tuesday morning. The family were asleep at their neighbor's house at the time.
Look what they did to our house. This is not about hitting Hamas or authority buildings like the Israelis say. This is a war on us, the people of Gaza.
The sound when the explosion happens. Oh, the sound.
I asked 17-year-old Maram how she felt when she heard the missile strikes. At first, she couldn't even answer.
All our lives we are suffering. Now my home is gone. We have nothing. That's it.
And just as we were talking, the neighbors rushed in to say a warning had been issued for everyone to evacuate the area. We can hear the sound of the Israeli drones just above us, and there's word that we may have to evacuate the area because the ministry buildings are just to our left here, but not very far away at all. And that is why everyone is moving whatever they can and trying to get out of here. But the problem is, where can everyone go?
You ask me how it is that I dare to take a side. You say I loathe myself, pointing out you have lied. You say it's tribal warfare, but I disagree, for the dynamics of the situation are not difficult to see. On the one side is the fighter jet, on the other is the stone. On the one side is the slave, on the other is the throne. For the many there are checkpoints, while foreign soldiers rule the streets. For the one side there is victory, but the people don't accept defeat. The word you need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It'll come on the day the tanks return to Tel Aviv. Across the world, you can hear the people say the children of Jerusalem will be free one day. In overcrowded camps, amidst the stench of death and flies, to the suburbs of Detroit, you can hear the anguish cries. While in the land of Israel, with God ever on their side, walls and fences are constructed, papers are denied. People fight for their existence while we turn a blinded eye. And those who should know better insist on asking why. The words need to know is occupation, the very definition of a land without a nation. And if peace is what you're after, then let us not deceive. It will come on the day the refugees return to Tel Aviv.
As fierce battles were waged on the ground,
The onslaught continued from the air. Airplanes, tanks, artillery and naval boats pounding Gaza as Israeli forces took up positions inside the strip. Here, a helicopter gunship opening fire. The ground offensive started once darkness fell on the eighth day of the war on Gaza. There were airstrikes as troops crossed the border. Palestinian families who spent most of the last week hiding in their homes now have to contend with close quarter battles on the streets. In a few hours, the enemy will realize that they made a big historical mistake when they decided to enter Gaza. If the Zionist leaders have launched this war for electoral gains, it will be their political failure. This aggression targets all Palestinians. The coordination is not only between the resistance factions. The entire Palestinian people are facing this aggression. They are aware that this is a battle of existence. The Palestinian people largely supports the resistance. The more the Zionist propaganda grows, the more the Palestinian people are attached to the resistance. The entire Palestinian people and the resistance are united fighting the occupation. They know that they have to be steadfast. They are ready to give everything. There are field operation rooms on the ground in every area where there is an incursion. There is a direct coordination between other Palestinian factions and us. The battle has just started, and the enemy should endure the consequences and results. They should be ready for the bad news coming from the Gaza Strip. Before this attack started, we made it clear that if the occupation widens their aggression against Gaza, we would hit sensitive areas. But because of their arrogance, the occupation didn't listen to us, and we hit the areas.
Here comes the helicopter. Second time today. Everybody scatters and hopes it goes away. How many kids they've murdered, only God can say. If I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, if I had a rocket launcher, I would retaliate.
Red alert in the town of Sderot. People run for cover. A rocket has been fired from Gaza, and within 15 seconds it will land. We're all bundled into a bomb shelter, along with some important visitors from the United States. The mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, is in town. He's here to be photographed, showing solidarity with the people of Sderot. When it comes to the people of Gaza, however, he sounds less sympathetic.
Mayor Bloomberg, what do you think about the dozens of Palestinian civilians killed in Gaza?
I think it's a disgrace, and you should talk to Hamas. They're putting their own people at risk, and it's an outrage. If Hamas would focus on building a country rather than destroying another one, those people wouldn't get injured and wouldn't get killed.
Sderot is only a couple of kilometers from the Gaza border, and it's been in the firing line for several years. Today, a rocket landed in this street, blowing away the back wall of a house. The people living next door are Russian Jews who only moved to Israel 3 years ago. When we heard the sirens, we were scared, Zoya tells me. We prayed to God that it would not hit us. It landed in the backyard.
I want to raise every voice.
And coming up next on your Huff Archive, or possibly your Free Radio Santa Cruz computer dial, it's a Bathrobes Piers Broadsides, the June 8th, 2023 show. And we're going to be mostly devoted to, we'll be listening to interviews with activist Calvin Moss from Venice, Kazoo and others from Highway 9, and the last days, well, it's not quite the last day since some folks were out there still today, cops, presumably either sweet-talking or strong-arming folks away from their survival encampments in the very last of the, or I thought was the last, and I'm pretty sure it will never be the last, of the demolition activities of the Santa Cruz Police Department on the hillside of Highway 9, right outside Santa Cruz. And you'll also be airing an interview with a Quiver, who is the has-been, I guess she's no longer, or this is her last week, the editor of the Coalition on Homeless publication Street Sheet, which some of you who've been following the street newspapers might know is the San Francisco activist twice-monthly publication that happens out of San Francisco, and the week card on down here. We leave it at the Telegraph/Union UN Association area, as well as at the Sub Rosa Cafe, as well as sometimes at the Town Clock and the Food Not Bombs meal. And you can also give me a call on the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and make arrangements to get some. You can sell the newspaper, you can read it, you can read it and sell it, you can read it and throw it away, do whatever you want with it. Anyway, she's the editor, Quiver is, and the first time I'd met her, actually, and she talks about some of the history of the Coalition on Homelessness, what's happening in San Francisco around homeless folks, what's happening with Street Sheet and Street Spirit, which some of you may be more familiar with. This month's issue of Street Spirit may be the last one because they're desperately in need of funding and apparently not getting it. But there will still be a newspaper distributed. Street Sheet will now be distributed on both sides of the bay. Before, it had only been in the San Francisco area mostly, as far as I know. And now, twice a month, it will be distributed by the vendors in the Bay Area, and I'll be trying to vend it down here or get it to vendors. We have very few vendors, but we have a few, one or two, as well as people who read it and find it of interest. Street Spirit, and I think also Street Sheet. So you can find out more about that. You can also find Street Sheet and Street Spirit online, and you might want to look it up there and... Anyway, that's the show. That's what we're going to be rolling right into after this usual intro.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin sort of where we left off last Sunday and where the city we wish would leave off but isn't. The demolition of folks' survival encampments along Highway 9. The third phase, or actually probably the fifth or sixth phase, or probably the nth phase if you're a mathematician and have been looking at watching this n times, happened, I guess it concluded, or I'm not sure how much of it concluded or began. I think that was everyone was due to be out, and the demolition was due to take place in earnest last Monday, and that would have been June 5th. However, some people were still there when that was going on. Police were still there actually on Thursday, today, June 8th, when I drove through. The area was somewhat taped off, at least part of it was. I was en route to the Huff meeting, and I did get a report from a couple of people who'd been there, but haven't stopped since. So I'm going to have to go back and visit and get some afterburner effects or reports on what's been going down. But here's some of what I found some days back when I began talking with Kazoo, who did have a tent there, but I think he is explaining in this audio, he removed it rather quickly, or it got removed when he wasn't there, and he moved into the Paul Lee loft, and, well, here's his account.
I don't know what's going on. So we're talking about the clueless Kazoo, but not clueless generally, but just you just arrived.
I just arrived, and I don't know if they're going to take the trains out or take the guys out or not. I don't see a lot of people. But have you been down that way farther?
I haven't. I've just, it's only 8:30, so there's, yeah. They got till 9. The cop's probably going to come a little later.
Did you just get here too, or did you get to go up around?
I just got here.
Oh, because it doesn't look like they're... Hopefully we can help them stop, you know, what they're doing. But I don't really see a lot of guys out there.
Was there actually a meeting on Sunday, as was suggested?
That's what people were saying.
Or Saturday. And
she came up. Heather? How do you say her name?
Helga.
Helga came up. Did you know what she came over and said to me? She said, I have a place to live up here if I could get Section 8 and all that. She owns a house up here?
She does.
Yeah, she said I could have the other house that she lives in to rent it if I can get the Section 8 for her. So I'm going to try that, and maybe I can be living in Felton instead of somewhere.
You're becoming high-class Felton resident.
High-class Felton resident, yeah. But,
right.
The apple seed up there somewhere.
But she's pretty good about going where she says she's going to go, so...
She said she'd be here this morning, so...
You just arrived, so she's...
I'm figuring it. Yeah, she'll be rolling in. I don't know. Did she live here ever? Or?
No, I don't think so. She's lived in Felton for years.
Oh, okay. Because she, I met her like right here the first time I ever met her, and I thought she was a. I thought we were talking that she was a resident here, but yeah, I guess why would she? She had a place up here. She has.
More concerned about Felton homeless, but that's how we ran into her. They were dumping Felton homeless out into the rain from the eaves of the Mountain Community Resource Center.
Into this, and I'm really happy. I just couldn't believe what she said to me yesterday. And I go, if you need a place, I got a place for you. You got to get Section 8. And it's like, wow.
And she's, I don't know what her, how consistent her ability to do that is. She has to have some understanding with her family. Although she may own it independently, I don't know what the story is, but she's concerned about her relations with her family. She had a couple guys who were living there who, she was always trying to help them, get them into other places, but they kept gravitating back to her place, and she finally kicked them out. So.
I could imagine that. Yeah, she's such a nice person. Yeah, you could take advantage of her, yes, but...
She's very passionate about this stuff.
Yeah, and I don't want to take advantage of anybody. She's like, if she does this for me, it would be fantastic. And she wants me to go, but she won't. I'll make her happy and myself, too. I was completely blown away when she told me this yesterday. I thought she lived here, actually, because we were talking, and she was acting kind of like she lived here. You know what I mean? But
where did you sleep last night?
Did I?
Yeah.
With a girl... I went down. I
you're always the ladies' man, aren't you?
I'm working at that. Yeah. I don't hang with guys too much. No.
Now you still got residence in any of the Pauly loft or
the loft? Yeah, I'm still there. I went there this morning and got some things and
How is loft living these days? I asked you that on Thursday, but now it's Monday. So.
The food ain't no good, and there's guys in there. They turn the lights on. This is what they do. The lights are on all night long, but at 9 in the morning, that's when they shut the lights off, so they go to bed. I'm going to have to tell them, hey, guys, let's just switch 12 out, But, you get what you get. I can't pick my roommate, so they're pretty good guys, though. But, yeah, there's a drug addict in there, and they're not about drugs there either. They don't care. It's just about finding housing. So those guys are blitzed out over at the tracks, and they just, I don't even know. I don't see them at dinner, lunch, or breakfast. They just must sit out there and just go to sleep or whatever in their loft. And when they get in there, no one walks around in there. No one watches TV. I've been there, I turn on TV, something. No one watches TV. They all go in there I don't know if they do the drug in their little canopy or whatever they're called, pallet houses. But they don't. Any of them ever come?
Do you have any connection with the folks in the pallet houses? Do you ever talk to them?
Well, I know some of them, but not really.
And are they free to come and go like you are?
Yeah, yeah. Anytime you want, and then in 3 days, you know, then you get booted out. But if you go to jail or something, you're gone. You know what I mean? But besides that, you should be able to get back there. You know, 3 days is not a bad deal, and you don't have to. Not like up there at the other one, they said 3 days for a month.
Let's walk off the road.
Yeah, 3 days a month. See, so but here, as long as you don't stay more than 3 days, you can just go. You know, so it sounds like you could go like a couple times a week, go back there. You know, like on a Monday, and then like on a Friday, you know, whatever. And they would be happy with that. So that part's okay, and it's just you know, living with guys. And the food. Oh, and the remote control, you know. Any sales tapes, any kind of positive thinking tape tells you, run your own remote control of your life. And these son of a bitches have that remote control for the TV. You know, well, that's a remote control, too. I'm trying to get it. They won't let me have my remote control, so I'm going crazy about
that. You're not a happy guy.
I'm not a happy guy. I can't control my own life, no.
Now, what was the case up at the Armory, too, though, right?
Well, that was they said I was hitting on them old women, but you know, I was just.
But I mean, the remote control thing.
Oh yeah, the same thing. They won't give you the button. It's like they got a power.
Well, you're not really quite a well person because you are homeless. You know, therefore you must be something wrong with you. Therefore, they have to help you. You see.
Yeah, and then you know.
With the remote control.
Right, but then how many sugars you want? Two or three, you know, and then they give you two or they give you three, you know. It's like, just give me fucking sugar, buddy. I can't stand a little nippy thing, you know, but I've been my boss for so long that I just can't handle it.
I've been distributing these things. I showed them to you before, but what do you think of these things? Their proposal, essentially a combination of things. They want to put the police on record as actually giving you a real place like you got.
Well, I don't have it yet, but I'm
I'm thinking of the poly loft that you have temporarily.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an emergency shelter, haha. I guess it's a little more than emergency and a little less than.
And, you know, that girl I was with last night, I almost like, she's a beautiful woman, but she's crazy, you know. I almost went back to the loft, but I stayed with her.
So you might have another place tonight with her?
I don't know. I'm going to probably go for a different one. But yeah,
you could be quite a gigolo, you know, I think.
No. Just, you know, you got to do what you do. And I don't like talking to guys because of what I did for a living. You know, I talk to guys for money, you know what I mean? So I don't really like chatting with guys. So with the girls, yeah, that's my deal. And I'm not no
gigolo. And you have some interest in the issues, too. I mean, yeah, I assume you come to the meetings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, of course, you're looking for housing, but you're also, I think you have some interest in this kind of shit.
Yeah. I'm definitely going to help all I can, yeah, because everybody's helping me, so it's give and take out here. When you get something stolen from you, just roll with it. And all my bikes got ripped off, too. But
what was the most recent theft you've experienced?
3 days ago, my bike, and then 5 days before that, they got my other bike. So at the Housing Matters in the locked-up area. So and Bob's seen it already. He said he's seen my bike, so I just haven't seen the guy. I'll grab it back from him. But,
what do you do when that happens? I mean, has that happened to you before where you've had to reclaim property?
Oh, yeah. One time I had to give the guy $5 back for the bike he stole from me. And he looked at me and goes, man, he goes, I just stole this fucking thing. I just can't give it to you. So I looked at him and I go, well, how's $5? You know, I didn't know what to say. You know, I go, how's $5? He goes, yeah, you know, so. I've got a few.
How much was the bike worth?
Oh, it was a three-speed Swin, older one. Oh, it was baskets everywhere. It was priceless. But yeah, he gave it up for $5, and now I lost that one too. But they come and go. You know, I don't get.
But you don't. Do you attempt to strong arm people who steal your stuff?
Oh, I wouldn't do that. If they want to keep the bike, they keep the damn bike. No, I'm not.
It's not worth that kind of stuff.
It's not worth the hassle. No, it's not worth. You guys are, you know, lunatic.
I'm sorry, ma'am. This is a restricted area. Uh-huh. We'll put you in
peace.
We'll put you in pieces.
Yeah.
Hey, I missed you, I guess, yesterday.
Yeah, you're there. You know why?
And Laura's right.
I had to leave right down.
Uh-huh. So that's your friend Jeremy?
Jeremy Leonard,
yes.
Listened to your show.
This is Laura talking.
And apparently hates me because I had something to do with fixing the situation at Community Bridges up in Thumb, the Community Mountain Resource Center.
That's where these people went, do you know?
No. The people that Helga was helping were the people that were living by
the awning that I told you. They were driving them out. Oh. She organized protests.
Okay.
So those people were all living up in Fountain, like near the covered bridge.
Oh, okay. What happened to these people, do you know?
They went back into the wilds, back into Felton.
Yeah, because they were here one
day. We had some impact with. We're talking about
these people.
Oh, these people. No, we're talking about people from Felton that Helga helped out.
Like, all the people that were next to me down there, everybody's gone. Everybody.
Have you seen them in any other places?
No, I haven't seen them at all.
Were they there on Saturday evening? Because I was up there on Saturday.
No, they were already gone, yeah.
This is what Troy told us to do. He said, start at Golf Club Drive.
Okay.
And walk on the railroad tracks this way.
Okay.
And when we got, it was pretty close to right about here, only up there.
I've done that a couple of times, and I can, at night, the girls, a couple of different ones bring me up here. And I live right down there, but when you get up along there, there's so many tents up by them tracks now. You can't get down.
Is that still true? Last time you were up
there?
When was that?
About 4 days ago.
Oh, really? So we were wondering if that, is that where they're, where are they clearing today? They got this truck, right?
That's where they're going to start moving. See, they got the Bobcat.
Sure.
Yeah, they're going to put
Where are they going? These people?
Yeah.
So these people with tents and stuff.
They're going to just tell them away. Throw them away.
Can people take the tents down?
They don't. It looks like at the park they just let it happen.
They don't take their tents down.
Some do. There's a guy taking his tent.
And when they come, they finally come to crash it, they just take everything.
I have it on video.
They didn't take bikes over
there. I have video.
Okay.
Of them just like. Destroying tents with those big grabber things.
Mm-hmm. But that Bobcat, that little one right there.
I do have video. We could get them into court and show this video of the stuff that they destroyed.
But warning, that's what they're going to say. Yeah,
I give a week's notice, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but what is the law about that? Do we know?
I don't think there is a law. There's court decisions about it being. They have to have a place for you to go, and they have to give you adequate notice. And it really depends on the state of how militant the lawyers are. If you actually get an injunction, but nobody's tried to get an injunction for this area, so.
The people that are running like the camps and the 1220 River Street and Coral Street. People are telling me that those places and up at the Armory, that they're clearing people out, they're throwing people out so that they can so that there is room. This is the way they're doing with the sweeps. They do a little, throw people out of the Armory and the other places so that they can send people from the sweeps there until they want to do the next sweeps, and then they throw those people out. And say that the next. That's how they're getting around.
Well, how credible is that? What do you think?
What?
How credible are your accounts that you're getting? If you.
Well, you hear it from.
I'm not saying they aren't.
Four or five different people.
So you've heard it from four different people or five different people?
It seems like. I'll have to think exactly how many people I've heard it from, but it's not one. It's like, yeah, you go down and look. Well, Kazoo will tell you. Why isn't 1220 River Street got people in it? It's because Jeremy Leonard is burnt out. He needs to be replaced, and by somebody who actually can put people in there and run the camp instead of pick and choose. Oh, this person can go in, or that person can go in.
So
that's kind of what's happening. Yeah, he's picking and choosing, because a long time ago, when I was really trying to get in there, there was no way he was going to pick me or Bobby. There was no way he was going to pick him either. So yeah, Jeremy has a pick and choose situation.
He has a stranglehold on it. And what we ought to be doing is going to the Parks and Rec, who I believe is who employs him, and tell them that they need to replace him with somebody who will do the job.
What's your thought on this?
My thought on it, going way back, all of it, I've been homeless for a long time. My thought is, I feel there's been millions of dollars for the homeless given out. And where's all the money? The money that's been given out, you could have damn near bought property and built apartments with this money that's been given out. And we just keep having to pack up. See, like this garbage right here. This wouldn't be here if we could get one of those bins put here, but they won't even let us have the bin here because they want us to look like shit. Yeah. You know? We're less fortunate. Yes, we are. And now we got to, here comes the cops. See, now we're going to get our shit taken again.
How long have you lived here, man?
I've been homeless here for the last 5 years.
And in this area here?
Well, I started over there, so, I mean...
How long ago did you move over there?
9 months ago.
That was Benchlands?
When we kicked out of Benchlands.
And before that, you were, what, elsewhere around town, or...?
No, I was, where was I? I tried the encampment, but it's like... in between the
1220 River, or no?
The Armory.
The Overlook.
Yeah, the Overlook, but... My sister was homeless, too, and she was at West, the park up there, whatever it's called. I forget the name of it. West,
Henry Cow? Oh, no, Harvey West.
Yeah, Harvey West. I was up there, and I went to stay by her because she was a girl and she's by herself. Yeah. Well, Jeremy actually came to me and told me, well, I need to get back up there. He didn't tell me that he had already packed my stuff up. So if I would have went back up there that night, come to find out he let everybody go through my stuff. When I got up there, my tables were... I didn't have half my stuff that he stole from me. And that's why he won't let me back in a campment, because he stole from me. I went and took my tables back.
We need to sue him.
Yeah,
you need to sue him. We need to go out.
I don't have money.
We're gonna make a fund, and we're gonna
small
claims court. I'm understanding. I've been talking to Troy and Kazoo and some other people about. We're talking.
I'm not
about
the only person that he did this to.
I know.
You know those folks?
They're
we
around
take
here.
Take him personal.
Yeah.
Because we're gonna stop with this
suing
the city.
When I got up there to get my stuff, if I had went back up there, I wouldn't have had nowhere to sleep because he had already packed up all my stuff.
Now, do you have in contact information? You got a phone or?
I have a phone number. I can get it for you.
Okay, yeah, give it to me and I'll give you my number too in case you want to stay in touch.
Okay.
You know where you're planning to move if you are?
I don't know where we're going to be allowed to go. I don't know.
They want you to
where can we go? I have a feeling they're trying to kill us all off, really.
Yeah. I know. That's what they just
prefer
just
you
assholes.
Disappear. See?
Yeah. So tell me you want to go to 1220 River Street. Tell me you want in the camp there.
I can't. That's Jeremy runs that.
Make them know that Jeremy won't let you in, even though there's nothing wrong with you.
Go
you're perfectly
how many spaces.
Outside.
Go look at how many spaces
how
there are.
How many spaces are there?
There's well over probably 13, 14 spaces.
Tell them that's where you want. I say everybody here should tell them they want into that place, and that Jeremy won't let them.
We used to be able to go there and sneak in and shower, and we used to go get. Now he's put a lock on the gates. We can't even get in to get water, fresh water, no more.
I know,
and it's like even the people that live there have forgot where they come from. They forgot they were homeless, and they got to come back out here. You're only allowed to stay there 6 months, and then you get one extension for 6 months, and then you get kicked back out to the streets. So
let's have a musical break before we continue with this rather, turbulent tale.
Mr. Wadley, I'm leaving, but I'm taking my story with me. Mr. Wadley, you'll never see me again. You brought in the time and motion men, took away my golf ball, my IBM. She ran with the sound of a runaway man, made me swear, but I loved her. Mr. Wadley, you used me. Gotta be efficient is what you said, and we're gonna be efficient till we're dead. You took away the copier, moved the phone, we sit in one place all day long. 9 girls in the office and each alone with our golden reed. That's all we need, you said. You put your earphones on, start to roll, hold your arms out straight, your hands like that, key and touch, touch and key, and that's all, no more. Miles and miles of words and words, days and days of numbers, till you're all wound up and all worn down. Then you begin to wonder if someone knew all along, someone knew it'd turn out wrong. Mr. Wadley, we're leaving. 'cause there's not just me, there's Danny and Brit and Kate and Sue and Mary's kid. We're the walking wounded,
RSI,
the talking wounded,
RSI,
the paralyzed wounded,
RSI,
the outraged, weeping wounded,
RSI,
who won't do the decent thing and die and spare your conscience. The world's not big enough for conscience and the profit motive. Mr. Wadley, I'm leaving, but I'm taking my story with me. Mr. Wadley, you'll never see me again. Chapter 2.
Nine little robots working for you. Touch and kiki and touch.
Never thought a body could hurt so much.
Shoulders firm, elbows ache.
I'm so sore, I think they'll break. But a sleeping pain and a wake up hurt. Mr. Wadley, on a Friday, I collect my dough 2 blocks away from you. I got a big felt pen, write me a sign. I'm gonna be a solo picket line with a card on a stick. I'll picket your place and tell your clients face to face,
you're a bastard.
And
one of these days, we'll climb in through the transom, smash up all the golden reeds and hold you all to ransom.
And while you stand there wetting your pants, I'll say, Mr. Wadley, your last chance to tell me while I count to 10.
Where's my golf ball, my IBM?
Mr. Wadley, I'm leaving, and I'm taking my story with me. But to cut my story short, you'll see me again
in court.
And that was a cut from Familiar Faces, sung by Peggy Seeger. Apparently also, well, it wasn't written by her. It was written by a guy called Mike Watterson. Name of the song, Stitch in Time. Now back to the Highway 9.
Everybody here should tell them they want into that place, and the Jeremy won't let them.
We used to be able to go there and sneak in and shower, and we used to go get. Now he's put a lock on the gates. We can't even get in to get water, fresh water, no more.
I know, and
it's like even the people that live there have forgot where they come from. They forgot they were homeless, and they got to come back out here. You're only allowed to stay there 6 months, and then you get one extension for 6 months, and then you get kicked back out to the streets. So what kind of rehab is that? What?
Nothing. He's full of shit, and we need to expose him, take him to small claims court, and demand that they start putting people in that.
I want to get your number, too.
That's
Laura, and I'm Robert, by the way.
Okay,
call me up, and I'll give you her number.
Don't you run Food for Not Bombs?
No, that's no? Keith McHenry.
I'm one of the Food Not Bombs people.
Okay.
But,
I
haven't been involved for a while. But, I can give you my...
See, I read the newspaper article. Who writes the newspaper? You? I read how they got $250,000 to do this, but they were supposed to inform people of being kicked out. And they never informed anybody that they were kicking people out.
Here.
Yeah. There's a big old article in the newspaper about them kicking people out. And they were supposed to inform if they were going to kick people out.
Weren't there notices posted here, though, last Monday?
Well, yeah, but they were supposed to let people know if they were actually going to be kicking people out. And they never... There was actually people in city council that were pissed off, from my understanding and what I read in the newspaper, that the cops and everybody didn't let them know we were getting kicked out. So, yeah, there's stuff, but, I mean...
What's your name, man?
My name's Derek Atterbury.
And I'm Robert Norris, Derek. Do you want to give me your number? And I will.
Yeah,
I'll try to stay in touch.
I'll get it for you.
Police have arrived. It's about 10 to 9. We have the usual squad of, looks like 6 cops and 2 police station wagons from Santa Cruz SCPD. They're kind of consulting with, or standing anyway, chatting on the other side of the highway. We're on the hill side of the highway talking with Derek, and Laura's here too. Folks are slowly beginning to kind of move and clear out. One guy is dumping his trash in this large trash pile. Others are...
If we had been out here, we'd help them. We'd actually put it... We have no problem putting
everything
it in the bin.
Everything has
but,
to be
you
documented.
Know, yeah.
Documented.
and everything, we're gonna start suing.
Why can't they put one of those right here, and we would have took our trash and thrown that in there?
Okay, you know? We gotta start. You know, the small claims court requires like $200 and some odd to file a claim, which is so much bullshit. But we need to start raising money to start doing small claims court one after another.
I will have my FEMA, and I will pay that money if I have people to help me out of my pocket.
Have you talked to the FEMA people?
My stuff's all coming, and so is my fiance's. But I will pay that money. But I just don't have no. I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, that was what Kazoo. Who was it? It was Troy that's figuring it out. Troy and and who's the other guy? There were two.
Sean.
Two guys that were anyway. Troy is pretty. Troy.
Yeah, the goon squad has arrived. So their cops have marched across the highway or walked across the highway, and they're entering the area that actually is the second area, not the third one that we're standing in, closest to Santa Cruz.
It's not even 9 o'clock. It's 8:52.
It is
9 o'clock.
Right now, with
9 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. So, Derek, give me a call if stay in touch.
I will. I'll stay in touch with you.
423-4833. So this is, of course, the second area which was roped off a week ago. So not sure if they're just taking the trail up to the top. What do you think, Kazoo? Is it they're taking the trail up to the top here?
Up to the top and work their way down, because that way they can bring the trash down. You know, if they started here, the trash will have to go over top of the trash. So. They'll probably go all the way up and just probably, I don't think they're...
I see four police station wagons here and probably six police officers.
People and, you know, this thing can just start ripping it apart. I hope not. That's maybe what they're going to do. They're going to get people out of there for sure.
I am not going to climb up there with you probably, but if you...
No, my leg's not good either, yeah.
Laura, I'm not coming up with you because I'm pooped. But you know, get what you can. Would you like a flyer?
I can't use a flyer, man. I need a flyer for what?
No, it talks about this shit. You probably know it all anyway, but...
I gotta go to the freaking courthouse and seriously sign up for that FEMA thing, because everybody's getting a grant and whatever, because our property is being thrown away.
That's what I'm told. The people have signed up. I don't know, and I've seen people's property being thrown away, for sure.
Yeah, I took pictures. You know what I mean? Like right now, they had actually destroyed everybody else's property, their tents, and told them to abandon, and still there's garbage around, and we're still helping out.
What's your name? This is for free radio, by the way.
I'm Sonny Lopez, and I'm still bringing the garbage down here as a volunteer. I mean, on my own time, not on the city's time and whatever. I'm doing it on my own because I care about Santa Cruz. We're all supposed to be here to live here together, and what, we can't even work together? Just forcing us out, just like how the Ross encampment was, illegally. You mean this is what they're doing again?
That's the story.
This is the same thing that they're doing again, illegally kicking us out. You mean trying to find all kinds of ways to actually kick us out? You mean what for? You mean they see all the workers, the officers actually saw me bring a bunch of debris down. And we were told, since we were giving bags, that they would actually pick up the garbage by Monday.
Did they?
Monday was Memorial Day, right?
Correct.
No one was working, so they didn't throw out the garbage, but they gave us a slip, a letter saying to vacate and dismiss.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. And still, yet instead, till this day, for the past 2 weeks now, I'm still bringing out the debris down here. They're kicking everybody out of the camps so that way they could take the debris out.
How long have you lived here?
Since the Ross encampment actually closed down, we had a transfer over here.
And in this particular area?
In this particular area, yes. I was right across the street until that flood showed up, and all of a sudden I had to come over here on this side. Mm-hmm. And then that water's flowing up again. I had to stay on this side. I lost already a bunch of property.
What did you lose?
My guitar instruments, my valuable things on electronics, my other phones, my wallet, my birth certificate, my ID, and personal items, you know what I mean, that I cannot replace. And I have a few instruments that I'm just working on, repairing, just from that incident.
And then you moved across the highway to here?
Yeah.
And here, how has life been on this side?
hectic because there's a lot of people who are still moving in and they're bringing their stuff here. So, yes, it may look like a lot of clutter, but they haven't even stationed their area yet. And on setting their area to camp, and all of a sudden they're getting kicked out. You know, I'm helping out elders out here who can't even go into town. I mean, I'm helping out more elders. Actually, a few elders are coming down here to help me out. You mean, while I'm helping, asking the other individuals to help us.
How many folks would you estimate are living in this central area on the hillside?
Close about 200.
And I understand there was a community meeting of the folks living here trying to decide what to do. Did that get anywhere?
It got somewhere, but so far it's like, what are the main things that we need to do? Bring the debris down, right? And then start packing up. So we can't do two things at the same time. So we're doing one thing at once and helping out each other. Breaking down all the things that we need that are valuable to us, you mean, if we can save them. And then bring down all the debris. And we've been doing that, you know, as a team, as a group. You know, we have women who are packing up the garbage bags, and we have myself, such as I, you mean, bringing it down. And we have other few men who are also doing it too, elders. And it's like, they're already old enough, they shouldn't be doing this.
Is there any concern about, as I think there might be, about where to go next if, in fact, they do rope off the area, refuse to let you here? Are people just going to move back afterward? Are they going to...
You cannot kick any homeless person out from Santa Cruz. Seriously, they're always going to be here. They've tried this several years, and they're still trying to do it, but they're still doing it illegally. You know, you cannot kick... It's not going to happen where Santa Cruz is going to be homeless-free. They haven't even started on the project on 115 Coral Street. That five condo, you mean, and how many rooms were they supposed to actually... How many people were they supposed to house? And Seaburg is still on that property. We can't even structure that place over there. And we're going to kick everybody out from their areas. We're still on the waiting list for that little homeless housing matters. And they haven't even started that project over there.
How is Housing Matters treat you? I call them Funding Matters.
Funding Matters, like a renegade, like basically only certain things. And seriously, right now it's not helping me out as much because I cannot even see my family. My kids, I worry about my kids every day and I can't even see them. I can't visit them at all.
Court order?
Either it's a court order, but right now it's by the mother. The mother doesn't want me to see my own kids, but I have to be a father to these young adults out here who cannot even listen or even pay attention. My kids could do a better job than these young adults out here. You know what I mean? My kids would actually help out. My kids would see an adventure, too, but I cannot even see my kids as a father. My kids cannot see me as a father because I look like a boogeyman. That's what I'm told.
Has any discussion been done? And we should say that you have one eye that's gone right the moment?
Yeah, I have one eye that's missing since 2020. I got hit behind the head blindsidedly, and I got mugged by with my guitars. And seriously, I walked all the way over there to the vets hall, and the veterans helped me out go to the hospital. But I got mugged, and I lost my eyeball. I'm blind on one side, and I'm still working. I'm doing this voluntarily and still not getting paid for it, and I still cannot even see my kids. I've already completed my probation, my domestic violence, like 4 years ago, and I'm still doing this project here. What am I still doing here, and I cannot even be with my kids?
Where do you think folks are going to go who are in your area who are maybe about to be told by this squad of six cops to get out?
One, either jail, two, dead, three, I don't know where they would be.
Is Jeremy Leonard offering you any places to go, or are there any other social service providers offering you alternate shelter?
So far, not yet. He hasn't asked me.
And has he asked anybody else here?
He's asked a few individuals who I know, yes. And one of my elders who was out here, he was across the street, and now he's gone already. So there goes that slip for him, you know what I mean? He can't make it to 1220. He wants everybody, quite a few individuals do not want to go over there at De La Vega. And you have...
Because?
I don't know. It's either the shuttle buses the stricter rules part and curfews, and you could, like, say, for instance, you're not there for 3 days, you get kicked out, you know, and all your property's gone, you know what I mean? And it's not comfortable for those individuals over there. Basically, you have individuals who are working night shift, graveyard shift, and we can't go back up there until the next morning. So we have to wait until a shuttle is coming down to get us. You mean continuously?
You can't make work arrangements?
You can't make work arrangements?
Have you ever used that, those facilities? Or this is what you hear about the...
I haven't used the facility until, like, Jeremy had started that one over there at the Benchlands on 2018 or 2019 when he put a fence around it and they closed the other side of the individuals out of the fence. Mm-hmm. I was the first person who was up at De La Viega unloading, like, ready to unload all my stuff at De La Viega. And he said, if you could get through those gates, through the security guard, I don't see why it's no problem that you can't drop your stuff off over there. And I was told to come back down the hill and unload my stuff and put it in their truck and take the shuttle back up the hill. Hold on. I don't need their help. They need my help. Because I'm the first person who's already up there, and they haven't even put tents
You're
up there.
You're just a square peg in a round hole, man. I'm sorry. You don't fit.
I don't fit. You know what I mean? And seriously, I'm doing the hard work with what they're complaining about. And they're offering the assistance, but it seems like not enough workers, and they didn't have the tents up at the time. So I could have stood over there helping them out, pitch up those tents, get it prepared, have a tent ready, and still come down the hill helping my elders. That would have worked and established really fine for me.
How have social services been useful or not useful here in the last month in finding people places to go?
Finding people places to go is very hard. It's difficult. And seriously, all the people out here, they have issues. You mean everyone has issues, and we're not on the same page with everyone. You mean everyone has their own story, their own background they need to fix and work out. And it doesn't help out when we're getting told to doing this and that. And
one size fits all.
One size fits all. And seriously, it's going to be killing all of us. Seriously, it already is. You know what I mean? And I'm doing the best that I can. I care about all these individuals out here. No matter what they do, they are still human. They're not dogs. We treat more animals with much more respect than we do our own humans.
Well, they're our pets.
They are pets.
Yeah,
but they're not humans. You know what I mean? A dog cannot build a house. A cat cannot actually cook you dinner. You mean a cat? Those animals cannot go to the grocery store and.
But slavery is such a bother. We don't want to bother with the slave situation.
Slavery has been going on ever since time has begun. And just because I am a dark-skinned African-American male who seems like I'm African-American, but I'm mixed, you know, I'm being treated like downsized, belittled, that I'm not worth it. And just because why everybody thinks that it's so important for Mr. Sonny Lopez to say something, you know what I mean, or what is Mr. Sonny Lopez doing? You mean we're not taking care of our own priorities or our own issues, but we need to worry about what Mr. Sonny Lopez is doing at this time. He's smoking a cigarette. He's walking. He's carrying a bag. He's carrying a box.
He could be dangerous.
He could be dangerous. You know, he's a danger and a threat to a lot of individuals, that even to my own kids. And so far, I've gotten a little credibility from that. You mean? I'm trying to reestablish my name, get my name back.
I think we've talked before years ago, when you were playing music.
Yes, over at the Red Church.
Yeah, maybe.
When they're serving food, you mean? I don't know how it happened to that, you know what I mean?
Miller went around yesterday giving away bagels, JoJo Miller, if you remember him.
Yeah, we're stopping individuals, we're giving people tickets when we're actually serving them food. People who actually pull over out here off of Highway 9 and seriously have barbecue or make a grilled cheese sandwich or something. They stop here and actually come up here and give us peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Not anymore. You'll be gone.
Not anymore, because that's a ticket. It's against the law to actually serve any human being. It's against the law. It's against the law because the officers actually gave them a ticket.
For serving food?
For serving food. For pulling over.
Or for parking in some place they shouldn't park.
Yeah.
Is a bullshit.
Pulling over and serving food to humans. Mm-hmm. Individuals who are out here off of Highway 9.
Well, you're only encouraging them, you know.
We're not encouraging them. I have students who are out here, too, in their groups.
No, I mean, those who serve food are only encouraging them.
They're encouraging.
Oh, you said being sarcastic. We're missing it, Robert.
No.
We're missing the sarcasm.
Oh, it's sarcastic.
In other words, that's what they would say to you. Mm-hmm. The reason we give them tickets is because we don't want food people to encourage folks living here.
Yeah. And how are they going to do that when they just kicked out how many people from the bench lands and that the De La Vega? It should have been full. It should have been full for now on. It should have been quietly full. But why isn't it? How come they're not doing their jobs and getting them in there?
And I would.
And now after this last resort, they're changing circumstances to go into the courthouse. And now we have to go all the way back over there to doing this paperwork. When we had that issue over there.
With no place to go tonight if they come and take your tent.
Yeah, at the benchlands before it was flooded. Now we have to go all the way back on over there to do this paperwork, this referral form. I'm at a stage where they have three bins here and a lot more debris ahead of me that they need to take out first before they need to get to my tent. You know what I mean? And I've already put my tent down. My property's down, you know what I mean?
Is your property safe?
Yeah, no.
See, the reason I'm a little concerned is I talked to you, though I appreciate I'm going to be playing this on Thursday.
My property's not safe because,
but,
seriously?
Well, I'm concerned that should we be talking to you when you're trying to do something else? I stopped you on the way down here. How are you doing with that?
My back's hurting. I've been working for 5 days, nonstop.
You can keep talking if you want, or you can do what you think you need to do.
I'm just taking a rest and whatever, and seriously, I cannot even take a rest. I cannot even get my back massaged. I cannot even see my kids. And still, I'm doing this while they're kicking us out. You mean, it's not that bad when they cannot even, work out with us. You mean, like how they said, you know? Shit. We take out the garbage out of the hills, like how we have been.
Right, and you're helping, and they're not. And they're helping you to get out. And if you don't get out, if you don't get out fast enough, they just mow you down. That's the plan.
They'd rather help us get out, other than picking up the debris that's already down.
And we have been talking with
Sonny Lopez.
Anything more you need to say, Sonny? I'm going to roll on this.
House me. I need a house so I can get my kids back. And I don't mean a campment or a FEMA camp or whatever. I need a house. I need my kids back. I need to be a father to my own kids, not to young adults out here who just don't want to get it. I'm tired of yelling at these young adults who really don't get it. And seriously, my kids would get it, and I wouldn't have to yell at them.
Thanks, Sonny. Listen, here's a card in case you want to reach me.
We were a new spring morning, you and me and the rising sun. We were a new day dawning, our loving had only begun. How soon the morning's over, how soon the sun shines overhead. Then summer rain brings seedling trees, and children were blessing our bed. From noon to early evening, always together yet drifting apart. Hold fast the bonds that bind us, companion of my heart. Can it be the day is ending? Our harvest gathered, our fledglings have flown. Would you leave me in the autumn, love, to live out my winter alone?
rising sun. Be with me in the morning, love, when the lonely nights are done. When the long cold winter is
gone. And that was another one from Familiar Faces called New Spring Morning. And I'm not sure, but I would guess that was written on the eve of or immediately after the death of her partner, Ewan McCall, with whom she sang and performed many songs throughout their years together. The earlier song was called RSI. So now we move on to interview I had at Soup Stock. That's the, I think it's an annual Food Not Bombs celebration. Maybe it's every few years, which was held this year in the Duck Pond, San Lorenzo Park. Kind of cold weather to start with. It got sunnier through the afternoon. I was only there for an hour and a half of it, something like that, giving out flyers at a table and chatting with Calvin Moss and Peggy Lee Kennedy, down from Venice and Joshua Tree, or up from Venice and Joshua Tree, Southern California. And this is sort of a report on homeless matters and other kind of allied issues from mostly Calvin Moss, a little bit from Peggy Lee Kennedy, who you've heard before in phone interviews about the situation in Venice, California, the kind of a seaside suburb of Los Angeles. So I'm here at the Food Not Bombs Soup Stock 23, I guess it is by now, at the San Lorenzo Park. And I'm hearing rumors that I'm going to seek to confirm by talking to folks down in the Los Angeles area. Talking with
Calvin Moss.
Calvin, you're a Southern California guy who splits his time between Venice and Joshua Tree?
Yes, I'm active in Venice still and Joshua Tree and in areas like Palm Springs and out in the desert areas.
Now by active, you mean you keep your ear to the ground as to what's going on, which I imagine you do, or do you mean you're out there getting busted every day for upholding the rights and risking your own health and life, which I hope you're not, but on the other hand, I probably hope you are. It's the same problem here.
Well, I do both, but right now I just do research into the abuse of homelessness, and I inform other people on the state of homelessness in the desert area and in Los Angeles. So, but I'm not out there risking life limb at this moment. So, but I'm on the computer.
What have you're a researcher. What sort of research has struck your attention? What new facts have you learned recently that you want to share with us, if you do?
Well, in the desert, there's a lot of homeless encampments that are being swept. Like the around Walmart in Palm Springs was swept recently by the Palm Springs Police Department. And Banning, too, had an encampment that they brought in sheds, the county and the city, and displaced, say, 200 homeless people. But then they put sheds and a fence around it for about 70 people. So they removed about 150 people and put sheds up for with security guards.
And where was this encampment?
This is in Banning, California, right?
Where is Banning?
It's just before you get to Palm Springs. It's one of the small towns, Beaumont and Banning. and it has a lot of homeless people, probably hundreds of homeless people in Banning itself. So you can see the encampment around 10, along Highway 10 on the side road. So we did some research and we talked to people in the encampment. And
how long ago was this?
That was, say, you know, 6, 7, 8 months ago. But this is a general, situation out.
Go!
As people get run out of Los Angeles, they move to the more rural areas, which there is more space. So these encampments are popping up all along Highway 10. And if you've heard about Slab City.
No, tell me.
It's a former military base down in...
I thought it was a cemetery or something.
Well, it's actually Patton's World War II military base that's been abandoned, and a lot of people are living there for free. You can move there and camp there. There's people camping there for years. And it's become a place where homeless people go, where they're not harassed, because there's no law enforcement there.
Sounds good. How do they preserve order without the police?
Well, the police do come in there, but they're not a constant presence there. So they do come in and raid Slab City, because there is people there. So police do come in. And but you always see on the social media the police are, it's the sheriff, the county sheriff of, I think it's Imperial County, come in there, but they don't have a station there.
So I guess what interests me is how encampments themselves deal with problems in their own community. Do you have much information on that?
Well, it's self-regulated, but there is a police. Mainly, the police come in to remove the homeless and the people, not to so-called criminal activity. They do come to, but their main activity around homeless people is when they come and remove them from that area. And regulate, like in Banning, they only allow 70 people into this fenced-in area where there was, say, 200 living there. So they ran out over 100, 150, which were scattered around.
Take
Banning.
Anything you want.
And they made a spot for only 70 people. So with these air-conditioned sheds.
Tell me about the accommodations, the air-conditioned sheds.
Well, they're just a small shed, which you can stay at, two people in each shed, and they have porta-potties, and they bring some food into these places, and they are air-conditioned because it's hot out there. So.
And in the winter, is it cold?
Yeah, they have some heating, too, for the winter, too. So it's actually a basic tiny house that they put there.
Is there a management where you have to watch your step, follow the rules, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, there's security there and a management through the social services that regulate who lives there. It's regulated by the city of Banning and the social services with the police department, and they have private security there.
Yes, Joseph!
So it's definitely restrictive. It's restrictive to...
And how old is this encampment?
It's about 8 months old. The encampment itself, before the city came in, was probably 5 or 6 years old, but since the city's moved in with the sheds and the chain link fence around it, it's probably 8 months old.
And how do the people that you've spoken with who have tried both the encampment and the sheds regard it?
Well, a lot of people just left and went into vacant lots because there is space around that area. It's a more rural type town. So some of them moved closer to the food stamps outlet where, social services distribute food stamps. There were some vacant lots around the city and the county food stamps program, welfare office, and they moved around there because they knew of some places that were open. But more than half of the people were driven away because of the...
Take care. Thank you, Joseph.
Because of the regulation. and they didn't want to be in a place with a security guard and where you have limited, they limit your activities.
How far is it from your stomping ground in Joshua Tree?
That is probably a 45-minute drive from Joshua Tree, an hour drive.
Hello, everybody.
But we cover that whole, you know, I even, as I said, I've, someone started a soup kitchen in Slab City, and I communicated with them because I saw it on social media, and I gave him support, and we were hoping to do a fund drive for him. He's a person that lives in Slab City, and there's a lot of people that need food there, so he started Slab City Soup Kitchen.
And the total population of Slab City is?
Probably 300 or 400. It depends on the time of year. In the winter time, it goes up because the snowbirds come around in their RVs and stuff. And
snowbirds is a colloquial term meaning?
Meaning people coming to escape the winter from the north. And Southern California, the desert, is their favorite spot to bring their van or their RV and park it for the winter. Then they go back north.
Now, in Santa Cruz, we've been having, as you know, and probably in your area too, there's been an attack on vehicular parking in the urban areas like Venice and I imagine elsewhere in Los Angeles, although I haven't got a lot of up-to-date information. You probably know more about that than I do. But here in Santa Cruz, we've recently been subjected to the oversized vehicle ordinance, which bans vehicles citywide between the hours of midnight and 5 unless you have a permit, which is only granted under relatively restricted conditions, and usually only if you have brick-and-mortar house connection. One would think that RV associations, whether homeless or not, would have some concern about this kind of restriction here. Now, I don't know how much that's been the case here. I've been less on the cutting edge and more on the dull edge of the knife kind of thing. Look too little and too late. But what's the story from your neck of the woods on that? Is there much, I don't want to say it's middle class, but at least not entirely destitute folks who are, you know, desperately using their vehicles for housing, but who are have had that lifestyle, perhaps to avoid, you know, exorbitant rents, but still a class unto themselves?
Yeah, well in the city, they're more harsh on people. The similar laws are in Los Angeles and Santa Cruz, all up and down the coast. In more populated areas like Venice Beach and Santa Monica, but you can still live in a vehicle. But it's much more police activity and chance of getting towing and harassed. And there's vigilante neighbors now that have groups that threaten people. Actually, someone shot a gun into an RV over at Biona Wetlands, which is near Venice. Shot an RV and there's threats, death threats, sort of, and you know, threatening to burn people out, which is a general like urban areas. But if you go out into the desert, there's more space, like places like Slab City or Quartzsite in Arizona or in Joshua Tree. People live in their vehicles and they go out in certain areas, BLM land, which you can park for free. And there's a whole lifestyle. If you saw the movie Nomadland.
No, perhaps I should. Tell me about it.
Our Rubber Tramps was one of the original movies years ago. Some of our friends were in it that lived in vehicles. I would see Rubber Tramps first. You can get it online. And then the movie that came very popular was Nomadland. And as you go out to the more rural areas, is you can actually avoid law enforcement, and they have little rendezvous. They use social media. They meet up and encircle their vans and their buses in remote areas. And
now, are these people who are permanently located
in those conditions, those places? Or are they people who are maybe to some extent travelers who, because that's to some extent the group I'm thinking of. Is there much connection between the travelers and the folks who are using, you know, homes in one permanent spot, vehicles as homes?
There are people that find places like in Slab City and where you can park for free and in rural areas. And there's the people that are mobile and they use social media to meet up with other people that live in vehicles, and they have these rendezvous. But you see them, they'll appear for a week or two, then they'll go to another one or they'll go on their way, travelers. And some of those people live locally and they just, they move around. And others, you know, go to Oregon or up the coast of Santa Cruz.
Now, do you have connections, sort of permanent connections in any of these, I don't want to call them parks, but settlement areas?
Yes, yeah, so I communicate regularly with Slab City through social media. And we want to help the person there that's doing the soup kitchen. We're talking to also groups and getting some donations. So that will happen this summer when we, you know, get the fundraiser together.
And again, what will happen this summer? My mind is slipping away here.
Well, we'll be supporting the soup kitchen in Slab City, and we'll also be doing our, you know.
How frequent is the soup kitchen in Slab City?
Every Sunday.
So you get to starve for 6 days and eat on Sundays.
Yeah, he started it up. It was the first time he did a survey himself. Very smart guy. And he knows the area there. He knows the slabs, which like any area, you have to be familiar with it. You just can't come there and know everything, you know. So he's very he's lived there for a few years, and or I don't know exactly how long, but he knew they needed that because there's a lot of people that are food insecure, and there's other groups coming.
Hungry, food insecure is one way you put it. Hungry, sort of thing.
Yeah, there's a place called Brawley Feed the Need, which is a nonprofit that supports his soup kitchen, which Brawley is a small town near Slab City, and it has a food program. It's a building, you know, it's housed in a building, and they distribute food from that.
So most people survive on, different kinds of welfare checks, and one meal a week from this fellow you're mentioning?
Yeah, they have their food stamps, Social Security, people live there, and they do bartering. They have free markets there with bartering, and it's a community that is actually working on sustaining itself, and it welcomes other people.
Again, a community of how many people?
Well, I think there's about 200 permanent residents, and then it grows in the winter because, as I said, the
snowbirds.
The snowbirds come in their vans and RVs, and they live there, and the population increases during the winter. That happens all throughout the desert, you know, the northern people that have RVs.
All right, go Isaac!
They drive south for the winter. And some even head, you know, it's not far from Mexico, which Calexico is the town on the Mexico.
A lot of Spanish-speaking folks?
Yes, in places like Indio, it's very Spanish-speaking, and, you know, it's a diverse community, and it's a farming area. Brawley is agricultural, you know, it's Imperial Valley, which is a
artichokes,
farming like crops like hay. I heard they produce a lot of hay there and other crops because it's hot and a good climate for growing certain crops. So and I think it has it grows a lot of tomatoes there.
There's something I've always wanted to say to you men. How would you like to hear this warning again and again? Look out, take care, beware, be careful, whatever you do. Watch every step you take, or something could happen to you. Suppose that boys were made of sugar and spice, and girls were snails and puppy dogs' tails and nothing that's nice. They'd turn into women whose needs would be terribly hard to control. So you'd have to dress and behave like prisoners out on parole.
Men, watch out, there's dangerous women about. Boys, beware, there's violent females everywhere. You read about rippers and rape in the news, then you hear the clatter of high-heeled shoes.
Females are easily roused to passion and lust. You're asking for trouble, waiting alone at night for a bus. She might be the one that's right, the one you can't live without. She might be one of those ones your daddy warned you about. It could be a friend who threatens your body and life. It could be a teacher, your lover, your mother, your sister, your wife. She's used to the fact that you don't fight back or run or shout. She's one of those ones your daddy never warned you about.
Men, watch out, there's dangerous women about. Boys, beware, there's violent females everywhere. They crawl along curves in their murks and jags. They gobble at porn and toy boy mags. They go to the football riot and then sing cigarettes, whiskey, and wild, wild men.
Cover your legs, remember to button your shirt. For if you're attacked and abused and you take the woman to court, the coppers are women, the judges are women who say you were drenched for sport. The doctors are women, the lawyers are women who say you were asking for it. Every day you open the paper and it's another man battered or raped and murdered and dumped in a ditch. Babies and boys and old, old men, when will it end? Degradation and fear and pain that women inflict on the men. Oh, what a crime, what a bloody disgrace to have to fear half the human race. But look around, the lovely women about outnumber the dangerous, menacing ones, there's never a doubt. Do they raise their voices and try to find a cause or a cure? No, they only say, I'm not one of the dangerous ones for sure.
Men, for girls, there is no joke in the song. Boys, for women, oppression has gone on far too long. Could you bear, as women do here, to walk and live and love in fear of dangerous men?
Learning doesn't pay.
And that was a combined song from Familiar Faces, consisting of one title called B-Side, and the other, Turn Up the Music, from, again, Familiar Faces.
And we've been talking with
Calvin Moss of... I work with Food Not Bombs and National Lawyers Guild and other groups, anti-war, and helping homeless people. That's what I do, you know.
Pushing the world back from the nuclear Armageddon, perhaps?
Yes, stopping us from destroying the planet, trying to stop joining other people to at least...
You could join the military and burrow from inside.
No, I don't think that's a good idea, but...
But might burrow you from inside.
Take on that, you see... You see, what happens is the poor join the military. The poor people join the military. Wealthy people and upper-income people don't join the military. It usually comes from poor families where the person has limited opportunities. So
you're saying you're too wealthy to join the military?
No, I'm actually too old to join the military, but I wouldn't have joined in the first place because I'm actually from the Vietnam era. I'm an anti-war activist from...
A fragger eminence.
Yeah, I was influenced by Martin Luther King when I was a teenager. So
I see.
So 14
don't go for the fragging, that sort of thing.
No,
I'm not a fan of Robert Williams, for example.
I am not.
Or go to Canada to avoid the draft, kind of.
You fled the country, did you?
No, I'm. My parents lived in Canada, so I actually was already there.
I see. You were very coincidentally visiting your parents.
Well, I actually was a friend of Jesse Winchester, the singer that went to Canada. He became a famous songwriter. And he was the person I went to see at the coffee houses in Canada in the 60s, Jesse Winchester.
When I heard of it, I liked Isaac. I hope you heard everything. So, not a chance. Only flashes, but you know, what can you do?
Can't please everybody.
No, it's not your fault.
So I always talk about Jesse because he was, could have toured with Bob Dylan, but he went to Canada and he still made a living. He actually wrote songs for Reba McEntire, but he had to do it through the mail because he wasn't allowed in the United States till Carter gave him amnesty.
So you're now advising Russian emigres and Ukrainian emigres who are fleeing the war?
Well, I am against all war, so I actually follow Medea Benjamin on that issue. She's the expert. She's written a book about it, and I totally agree with her on that issue. So,
go read Medea Benjamin's book and donate to the cause, perhaps. Go buy her book, I guess.
Well, I support Code Pink. I think she's done amazing work, which I totally support her in her anti-war.
What about you, Peggy? Do you support this traitor, Medea Benjamin?
I think Medea Benjamin is not the traitor.
All righty.
So it's the people attacking her.
I'm a little closer. I can sit down and you can stand up. Or you can sit down and I can stand.
I think Medea Benjamin is the one who's right. She's correct. Because we're supporting a war. And
we being the military.
We being the United States. And we're supporting the war and the military-industrial complex.
I've heard of those people.
Yeah, that's who we're supporting, you know. So we're not supporting some...
Are you paying your war taxes?
No, but I did. As a person who worked most of my life, I used, when I was working as an accountant, corporate staff accountant, I was making enough money so that I supported supporting the invasion of Iraq. So really pissed me off when they did.
Right.
So because I felt like I was paying for it out of my taxes because they were taxing me so heavily. I was at that whatever income where they try to take most of it away. And they pretend like you're middle class.
So your neck of the wood is Venice and Joshua Tree.
Correct. I'm from Venice.
And what's the anti-war movement doing in Venice these days, if anything?
I would say the...
Not that it's doing anything here, mind you.
I would say that Venice is basically gone. It's lost. Venice is lost. We have a city council person over that district that paid for her position through the LAPD Federation, funded her campaign. So that's who we have as our representative in L.A. City Council. And she has a lot of supporters there that are quite nasty, anti-poor people. If they say they're against a war, well, then maybe they should start at home. So if they say they're against a war, they're full of shit because they're waging a war on poor people and people of color and disabled people like it's nobody's business.
Now, are there any individuals who actually do, in high-profile ways, whatever their position on homeless issues, say they are opposing the war, or is that pretty much Democratic Party territory where people are supporting the Biden armament of Ukraine?
Right. I would say the Democrats are sort of there's a division in the Democrats about it, but I would say most of them are, I would say they're probably supporting our military campaign.
Is there a similar, Calvin wanted to say something. Calvin, what do you want to say?
Well, Venice has had some activity, but it's not directly from Venice. It's from a group called the RevComs, which is Bobby Vakian's group, which is he is from the 60s. He's an actor, Bob Avakian, and he's got.
I remember. I read his autobiography, and From Mao to Me or something. I'm not sure.
His group is very, very active, and it marched down Venice Beach. It had a rally there.
An anti-war rally, correct.
Well, an anti-war and an anti-right-wing,
pro-homeless rally?
Yeah, yeah, they are pro-homeless, very pro-homeless. So the very active group that has been there have been the RevComs, which actually, during the pandemic, got in a fight on the Santa Monica Pier with the MAGA people, and were bear sprayed while the police watched, held down some of them. And some of the MAGA people beat some of the RevCom, held one of them down and bear sprayed him.
Now, were you a witness to this, or you just read about it?
No, I that's part of my research, and I talked to the RevComs that were there. I communicate with them.
So the Democrats, they put down the RevComs like, oh, they're a cult or something. But, you know, it's not like they're out standing up against any Nazi invasion.
Is there a libertarian left in your area? You know, like people who are very conservative economically, but very anti-intervention, anti-war?
No, not in Venice. It's mostly Democrats or MAGA. There's been an increase of MAGA type activity in Venice with businesses and people moving in there over the years. So
Venice has how many folks?
I think it was 45,000 around the Venice area.
You have any comments yourself on this?
On the population of Venice?
On anything that we've been talking about so far.
Well, the population of Venice has changed over the last, 30 or 40 years so drastically because the city, it's governed by the city of L.A., and the city of L.A. is major pay-to-play with developers, and so you can't really get elected and stay in office unless you have support of the LAPD and the developers. And in the city of L.A., and especially the coast, which is Venice, the coast of L.A., all of the development is luxury. So if you build primarily luxury living apartments and homes or whatever, and destroy whatever low-income housing that there would be, and throw in code enforcement against the black people, gang injunctions, there's so much shit that they did to get rid of the poor people out of the west side that the population changes. And so even the people that consider themselves supposedly progressive or liberal are quite anti-poor, so because they're affluent people, and mostly affluent people. And the people that are still there who might not have originally been affluent, they are now because their property is worth millions. A property that 40 years ago was worth $5,000 is worth $5 million now, right? So, I mean, the people are sitting on major investment that they can, you know, use as capital or whatever. These are people with money. They have a lot. And they are affluent people, and they're mostly white. So Venice used to have one of the oldest African-American homeowner neighborhoods in this country called Oakwood, right in the middle of Venice. And now there's hardly any black people because, you know, they want to get rid of any sign of poverty, and black people are in the lower income generally.
How about Joshua Tree?
Yeah, unfortunately, when we first went out to Joshua Tree, it was sort of a, you know, a desert version of what the Venice community might have been sometime in the past. And now, because of all this advertisement about it as a destination, and the, it's not incorporated. It's covered by the San Bernardino County supervisors, and they're all very right-wing. So what happened in Joshua Tree is Airbnbs. So Airbnbs came in, people, and then the locals who were running Airbnbs, well, they thought it was okay because they were earning a living that way, and they were hiring people that cleaned in it, and they didn't see the disaster pending. And the disaster that happened is that out-of-country investors and corporations came in and bought these homes and properties, and they build homes specifically to use as Airbnb, and they drove the poor people out. So nobody can afford to rent. There's no, I mean, you see people all the time on Facebook or online.
Are we talking Venice or Joshua Tree?
Joshua Tree. So it's now, it was a very rural, low-income community of artists and, you know, desert rats and all kinds of people and musicians, a lot of musicians. And but now it's, the property value has gone way up because of, you know, the Airbnb and the tourist destination, and the fact that nobody protected any of the housing stock there. So the poor people have basically been driven out of there now. It's crazy how the takeover and how the county or the any municipality allows this. I'm sure you've seen it here in Santa Cruz and Watsonville or wherever on this coastline. That's the most desirable place for the affluent people to live. And so the poor people could just get the fuck out, you know, and that's how they act, you know.
You agree with this cynical assessment here, Calvin?
Well, she's an expert. She's the lead activist in the West End, so I have to agree with her. I have to. But I totally agree with her. But what, the question about libertarian there, there is almost no libertarian activity in Los Angeles that I know of, but there is in the desert.
See, the reason I ask is I get a lot of updates of mine from antiwar.org, which is antiwar.org, which is libertarian, and it, but usually there's a lot about Ukraine, usually critical, you know, from people you might other regard as otherwise, I would otherwise dismiss, generals, ex-